June 13th, Town of Moreau Board Meeting.
All right, good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular Moreau Town Board meeting for June 13th, 2023. And ask the clerk to please call the roll to establish a quorum.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
And Supervisor Kuzmanis?
Here. And if everyone would please rise for a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Agenda item two is approval of minutes. We do have several sets to consider. We have three from May 9th, which included a public hearing on Local Law 1 of 2023. The second one is also a public hearing on Local Law 2 of 2023, and then the third meeting was a regular town board meeting. So we'll take those three together. Everybody's in agreement?
Yep.
Is that all those, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to hear on the 23rd?
Yeah, May 23rd I was out, but I can do the first. Yeah, okay.
You want to take them separately?
Yeah, I wasn't present on May 23rd, so.
Well, we're only doing May 9th.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, May 9th?
Yes. Somebody like to move that we adopt all the minutes for May 9th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So we'll take the May 23rd minutes of the audit meeting, as well as the regular town board meeting. Somebody like to move
those? So moved.
Those?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
And one abstention. And then last set of minutes for June 1st, 2023, which was a special town board meeting.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion carries. Agenda item three this evening is Water and Sewer Department. And really the only thing I have there is I want to give the public an update on our County Forest main connection. The work started this week on Ballard Road, where they're using a vacuum excavation to verify utility locations and clearances. Pipe installation, we expect it will begin next week in Wilton. The completion date still remains as established in the contract of December 15th, 2023, and we're currently under budget. The county is drafting an agreement for the town's consideration, which, if approved, would have the Saratoga County Sewer District Number 1 responsible for the operation and maintenance of the entire county forest main connection, including the section constructed by the town. The county cannot take over ownership where there is debt involved, but taking over operation and maintenance removes the associated costs from the town's sewer budget, so that's a good thing. I expect that once the county takes that up tomorrow in the Law and Finance Committee, it will be passed by the full Board of Supervisors next week. And then the town board will have to take action in that at a later date, and I expect that probably to be at our next board meeting. Our team is also working with EFC, the Environmental Facilities Corporation, to secure favorable financing terms, and we're also working to obtain grant financing similar to what we did with the sewer project along our commercial corridor, and if the town and county is in agreement and both parties are acceptable, we may qualify for a New York State Water Infrastructure Act intermunicipal grant, which under this program, we may be awarded up to 40% of the cost of the project. And if you recall, with a further update, town board authorized an updated income survey, which has been completed. If you recall, we were able to use the income survey on the last sewer project to leverage 25% in grants for the project and a zero interest hardship loan over 30 years. So we will keep our fingers crossed on that. Agenda item four is Recreation Department. I do have a couple of items we need to go over. As the board is aware, we're moving forward with the trail along the Hudson River off of Nolan Road, and we expect to have that project underway soon. I think we're up to over 19 contractors now that have asked for copies of the documentation, which is good news. I mean, the more they're taking a look at it means they'll be sharpening their pencils for that particular project. I do want the board to be aware that I received communication from Parks and Rec this morning, I think. Mm-hmm. Yes, this morning. And that the Attorney General's review of the project required that we make a slight change. They didn't tell us what the change is, but when my office reviewed it, it was a two-word change. Instead of providing, I think it was monthly updates on the project, annual updates on the project, they want quarterly updates on that. So what that means for the town is that I have to re-sign all the necessary documents so that we can continue to move that forward. Also under Recreation Department, we've got a request from our new rec director regarding the basketball program. As you recall, we tabled it at the last board meeting. Because we didn't have a full board, and I wanted to make sure every board member was here to weigh in on the proposal. And Jeremy is looking to see if the town wants to start up the town basketball program. And my understanding is that the school district also has their own program, which doesn't cost anything. The last time we ran our program with participation, we netted about $1,200 on the program after it was all said and done and coaches were paid for. So I guess the question for the board is, do we want to move forward with a town program knowing that the school district will be having a similar program during the same period, only that'll be indoors?
Can I just add my two cents, because I wasn't here last meeting, and I certainly raised some concern before the meeting. The documentation they gave us says the total cost for payroll will be $4,050, and then that doesn't mention anywhere the cost of the reversible jersey that they need to purchase. Have they provided that to any by the rec committee, like what that's going to cost or run?
No.
I was ultimately very concerned with the costs being higher than what we would take in for revenue. The camp that's being run by the school, it's probably running concurrently, same dates or a day or two off. It's a free camp, and it's going to be in the gym with the varsity coach and staff. The district has what they call ESSER funds that they need to spend, and they're doing a ton of free camps this summer. Looking at, I think, the cost breakdown for previous years with this, I think, I don't have the number in front of me, so I do apologize there, but I feel like it was $3,600.
So, yeah, I do have the numbers. Okay. So the revenue from the 2022 program was $3,400, and the coaching expenses alone were $2,200.
Okay, so it was only $2,200. All right, which is fine.
But that included the winter basketball program as well.
That included winter basketball. Yeah. So I don't have a problem going forward for another offering for our families, but I don't think the town should pick up the bill if, in fact, the expenses are more than our revenue on this. That's my only concern. I don't know if we can, if there's a way to approve this with a caveat that we will not pay more, we will not pay out more than, you know, what our revenues are for this. I mean, I don't care if we break even, because we're not really in the business to make money on our residents with this. We just want to make sure that we're not paying more than what's coming in. I mean, these camps that school are offering are incredible, to be honest with you. I mean, my daughter signed up for about four of them. But
I guess where I sit on it is, you know, we stepped up to bring in a new rec director. We want to continue to have him grow new programs. It's coming in with programs we've had established that have been successful in the past, that have brought a revenue. To have that concern, I totally understand that we don't want to cost money, but to offer that program to kids that it is limited to an indoor gym, to have other options and to be outside, and potentially more time frames for these families to actually make it work. Even if we did this at a loss, I'm comfortable with it. I don't foresee that happening. The numbers show positive before, and it's capped at 50 kids. Al Vasek's been involved with youth basketball for as long as I can remember, and I'm sure that he's been pushing for this camp to make sure that we have the numbers to be successful. Right. So I would definitely, being the rec liaison, wouldn't want to pull any programs as we continue to try to build the rec program right now. But again, I totally respect your spot.
I'm in favor of this as well. I'm just concerned that it's going to cost where we didn't budget for, that's all. But I'm in favor of it.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think having Jeremy in this new role and the athletic director, I think our concerns up here on the board will be able to be addressed next year up front, and maybe sure. not run them at the same time or work together. So,
well, those ESSER funds are going to run out. So I think then people will pay for camps again.
Yes, they will.
All right.
Any other discussion on the topic? Just for additional background on the Big Three summer camp, looks like it's just going to be 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be week one will be July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Week two, July 10th, 11th, and 12th. The third week, 17th, 18th, and 19th. And then week four, July, August is 31st, 1st, and 2nd. And then August 7th, 8th, and 9th. With the final week being August 14th, 15th, and 16th, with the cost $50 per week. Session one, first 3 weeks, would be $125. Session two would also be $125. And if you enrolled all summer, it would be $250. So if everybody is in agreement, I'd entertain a motion to establish the basketball Big Three Summer Camp Series at Monroe Rec for this summer that has a cap of 50 players per week.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Is there any way to add that payroll will not exceed $4,050? Because I also recall a couple years back, we wound up, there were more coaches added. We paid out when we weren't expecting that. So I don't know if that's something we can add in there. Not we've seen 4,000.
Withdraw my motion with the modification for the camp payroll to be as followed: director $1,800 for 6 weeks, assistant director $1,350 for 6 weeks, assistant coach 6 weeks at $900, and a total program cost not to exceed $4,050. And the rest as previous motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The next item, also under rec, is in relation to our lifeguards. we were able to secure, if the board recalls, three lifeguards, two seniors and one lifeguard, senior lifeguard, and one regular lifeguard. And because we were not able to get to the five that we had, I think it was last year, that means we will be limited in the number of hours that we can have the Southlands Falls Beach open to 5 days a week instead of 7 days a week. But the good news is, you know, we do have enough staffing to keep it open. And I don't know if we want to work around what days. Maybe somebody work with Jeremy to see what are the best days to be there. But regardless, we had established a pay rate at the time three individuals were hired at a previous board meeting. They have expressed interest in looking for other opportunities if the town was not amenable to increasing pay slightly over what the rates were that we established. And if the board recalls, we for senior lifeguards, we established a pay rate of $16.23 per hour, and for the senior lifeguards and then the lifeguard at $15.50 per hour. And one of the recommendations from at least one board member is to possibly provide a stipend if they stay through the season. And there's a willingness on the part of the employees to stay at least up until August 21st. And so there's a recommendation to provide a one-time stipend of $9.50 for the senior lifeguards and $8.50 for the lifeguard. So I said I would bring it to the board for discussion, and here we are. I don't know how anybody feels about that.
So the
alternative is, if you're not willing to consider that proposal, we do run the risk if we lose one of them, we will have to shut the beach down because we have nobody else has applied and is willing to work in that capacity. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
Did you want discussion before motion? Or?
Yeah, you can discuss it.
Yeah, so that's point, I think, was the one. I mean, with three people, we're going to be asking these three to meet the DOH requirements, not only going to 5 days, but even with three people, we're going to ask these people, these three young men, to work almost every day. And they're committed to doing that. One of them's, I think, a 5-year employee with us, the other one's a 7, and then the non-senior guy's in his first or second year. So they've been very loyal and dependable employees up to this point. And I like the idea of tying it to an end of season view of this through the whole season, job performance kind of stipend. It's a little bit creative, but it certainly allows us to not have to establish some higher rate that then stays on in perpetuity forever, you know? So I'm supportive of it. After meeting and talking to them and knowing how important the beach is to the residents, especially, you know, that stretch of warm weather, that place can get pretty busy.
Yeah, and the I should point out also the reason why DOH per our beach permit has a requirement for such a high level of staffing is that for whatever reason, a previous rec director, several iterations ago, had indicated to the New York State Department of Health in our beach permit that we had 1,000 feet of river for our beach. And as everyone knows, we do not have 1,000 feet of river frontage down there. So we're working to revise the permit. But until we revise the permit, you know, this is the level of staffing that we're required based on the information that was provided years ago when they established the beach permit for Tom Rowe at Southland Falls Beach.
I'm comfortable with the program. I know Councilman Tassel, and I believe yourself, met with the lifeguards. They're some of our longer employees, and if that's a comfortable rate that you have in the discussion to move forward, I would definitely support it.
So So it sounds like there's enough support for a motion. Yeah. So why don't we make a motion, or I'd accept a motion, that senior lifeguards Zachary Smotko and Caleb Kerrig, should they stay in their position as senior lifeguard through August 21st, would be eligible to receive a $950 stipend. In lifeguard Jack Payton, who, should he remain in his position through August 21st, would receive a $850 stipend.
And can we add in there, in good standing? Or would it have to be
That's fine.
And a good, I'd make that motion, and in good standing and performance.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any discussion or further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Is there anything else at rec that you needed for tonight?
Just a quick update for the entire board. All of the maintenance and septic and electrical issues between the rec and the beach have all been resolved. I'll give credit to Jeremy and Bruce to really step up and take the lead at that. And happy to report that Jeremy's doing very well in his new role.
Good.
And thank you to the supervisor's office as we had to declare some emergencies to get some stuff done down at the beach, and I appreciate all the support there.
Great. All right, so that takes us to agenda item 5, which is the building department. And as you recall, we have been without a secretary for the planning board and the zoning board as a result of staff turnovers. And we do have a member of the town family that works in the clerk's office, Deputy Clerk Diane Lewis, who is willing to serve as the secretary for a planning board and zoning board of appeals. And as you recall, we have established a stipend not to exceed $100 per meeting, but I will need a resolution hiring her for that purpose at that rate.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to thank her. She's one of the first to always step up, or at least offer, and we absolutely need that position for both the planning and the ZBA. So just want to make sure she's acknowledged.
Great. I know she's a valued member of the team and certainly of the clerk's office. We did the roll call on that?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Agenda item 6 is the Moreau Industrial Park. I have this on the agenda, and I believe the board members have corresponding documents. When I was elected running for town supervisor, I committed to being an ambassador to bring businesses into our industrial park, and that has been an ongoing effort, and I'm pleased to report that for the past year and a half, I've been working with a company that would like to locate in the park and purchase 3 lots. And we do have those 3 lots that have been identified, and I can now share with the public, because we have an offer of purchase that has been signed, and it'll be up to the board to decide. But I do want to give a project narrative on the proposal so that the public is aware of the business. The company is Twin Bridges. They'd like to build a maintenance and storage facility on lots 37 through 41 on Farnham Road. 3741 Farnham Road and 1-5 and 7 through 9 on Electric Drive. And it's proposed to be operated by Twin Bridges Waste and Recycling Affiliates. And this will include construction of buildings that will allow for various uses, such as maintenance and servicing of vehicles, welding area, cart storage, and office space. All buildings will be one story in height, metal framed, meet all zoning regulations, and equipped with the appropriate oil and water separators, grit chambers, and holding tanks for proper wastewater management in compliance with all town and state codes. There will also be a dedicated parking area for the fleet of vehicles and enough parking spaces for up to 100 employees and visitors. And it's anticipated that the facility will be open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 5 a.m. to noon on Saturday. Overall, they expect that water and sewer usage are estimated to be approximately 1,200 to 14 gallons per day, which will not have a significant impact on the town's systems. And as you know, public water, sewer, natural gas, and electric are all available to the site. Stormwater will be managed on-site, complying with the town and New York State DEC regulations. And there will be minimal LED down-type lighting, which will be used on-site for safety and security. And they indicate the project will not have any impact on town's communication systems, as no special devices are required. And there will be no major visual or noise impacts to the surrounding area, as the proposed use will be consistent with the existing property zoning, which is M1. And if you recall, we had appraisals done on those lots that the town owns, I think a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Bottom line is, if you look at those appraisals combined for the three lots, it's $565,000. And the sales offer that was provided to us this week was $725,000. So it's almost 30% over the appraised value. My recommendation to the board would be to give it serious consideration tonight, and they're willing to take action as soon as the board takes action on it. If the board moves on it tonight, it is subject to a permissive referendum, which I believe is 30 days. The clock will start ticking once the resolution is filed. So I don't know what the board's pleasure is on that. We do have the necessary documents if you'd like to move forward this evening.
I get the chair that keeps going down. I'm excited to see us have opportunity to put some additional property back on the tax rolls, but also to continue to bring employment opportunities into the industrial park. So I'm very excited about the opportunity and supportive of it.
I agree. Looking at what they provided or been provided to us by the supervisor's office, it appears not only are they going to meet our current zoning in the industrial park, but it looks like they're already trying to answer some questions for the surrounding neighbors, providing times of use, what they're planning to do, and trying to also be a good neighbor to our surrounding community. So I look forward, and I also support it. And look forward to them getting in front of our planning and zoning board.
I'm supportive of this as well, with the documentation that has come our way. I'm sure there's going to be more steps to the process, but I am supportive of this as it stands right now.
Likewise. I think it sort of looks like something that will fit into our industrial park. It looks like something that we had mine when we built the industrial park, something like this. But it looks like it'll be a positive addition down that ninth floor.
And I don't know if I mentioned those three parcels combined are 10.65 acres. And I can tell you the company, they do business in other municipalities. They're very community oriented. As a matter of fact, I don't think the public is aware. They cover the cost for all of our refuse removal at all of our recreation sites. So, they're a company that wants to give back to the community. They care about the community. They invest in the community. So I think it's an ideal candidate for this purchase. And, you know, quite frankly, over $1 million was spent out of the general fund to make the industrial park shovel ready. There has not been a lot of interest or success getting people or projects built in the park. And a lot of people, a lot of industry is looking at the town of Moreau, and that's why we have this interest, and people are making genuine offers to locate it. So it's all good stuff. So sounds like the board is supportive of moving forward this evening. So with us this evening, we have Jeffrey Shapiro, who's pinch hitting for our regular attorney, Carla Bittner, who was unable to be with us this evening. He's an associate attorney with the firm, and so welcome, Jeffrey. Glad that you're here this evening. And so we're going to let you walk us through the process this evening. And I know that the first thing is you'll want to know if the board is in receipt of part one. I think it's the secret document, right?
So secret part one is the board in receipt of secret part one.
Yes.
Okay. And does the board agree with the answers provided in part one?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So for part two, is the board in receipt of part two?
Yes.
Okay. So I can either read each question or I can ask you, the board that is, they are in agreement with the answers proposed in total.
Why don't you go down individually through the questions, reading what we have checked so the public is aware, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulations? No, or small impact may occur?
No.
Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land? No or small impact?
No.
No.
Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No or small impact?
No.
No.
Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that caused the establishment a critical environment area?
No.
No.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect the existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway?
No.
No.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities?
No. No.
Will the proposed action impact existing A, public or private water supplies, B, public or private wastewater treatment utilities?
No.
And I need a second no.
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 Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the important historic, cultural, architectural, or aesthetic resources?
No. No.
Will the proposed action result in adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna, for example?
No.
No. No.
Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems?
No.
No.
Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health?
No.
Okay. Seeing that the answer is no, we'll move on to part three. Is it the board's determination that this action will not result in a significant impact?
Yes.
Yes.
Secret is done.
All right. So the next step, I believe council has a copy of the draft resolution. And if council would read the resolution, and we'll move for discussion.
Resolution authorizing the sale of land owned by the town of Moreau. Whereas the town of Moreau owns real property known as 37-41 Farnham Road, 1-5 Electric Drive, and 7-9 Electric Drive. Tax map parcel numbers 50.4-18, 50.4-17 and 50.4-21, respectively. Subject property located within the Moreau Industrial Park in the town of Moreau, which combined comprise a total of approximately 10.65 acres. And whereas the town has determined that the subject property identified is does not require for use by the town and its excess property. And whereas the town has further determined that the subject property should be sold to Scott T. Earl or assigns for the purchase price of $725,000. And whereas the subject property has minimal use or value to the town. And whereas the proposed sale of the subject property is an unlisted action under the New York State Environmental Quality Review Act, otherwise known as CEQA, the town board is the lead agency, and that said sale, transfer, or conveyance will not have a negative impact on the environment. And whereas the town has complied with all the applicable requirements, made all required determinations under pursuant CEQA, and the regulation promulgated thereunder, including without limitation, the proposed sale, transfer, and conveyance of the subject property. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town board hereby determines that the following plots and parcels of land now owned by the town are no longer required for us by the town, Section 50, Block 4, Lot 18, 37-41 Farnham Road, Section 50, Block 4, Lot 17, 1-5 Electric Drive, Section 50, Block 4, Lot 21, 7-9 Electric Drive, comprising three lots of land in Monroe Industrial Park, and comprising approximately 10.65 acres. And be it further resolved that the town board hereby determines that the proposed sale is an unlisted action under the New York State Environmental Quality Review Act, that the town board is the lead agency, and that said sale, transfer, or conveyance will not have a negative impact on the environment. And be it further resolved that the town board hereby authorizes the sale by the town all of the town's right, title, interest, in and to subject property to Scott T. Earl or assigns for the purchase price of $725,000 upon the terms, conditions contained in a certain contract for purchase and sale of real estate. And be it further resolved that this resolution is subject to permissive referendum as provided in town law, subsection 64-90 and 91 of the State of New York, and that town clerk is directed to publish and post the notice of adoption of this resolution in accordance with Article 7 of the town law within 10 days. And be it further resolved that upon the expiration of the permissive referendum period, the supervisor is hereby authorized to execute the contract for purchase and sale of real estate and such other relevant documents subject to review, approval of the town for the town as the form and content.
Thank you, Councillor. Would somebody like to move that for discussion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Under discussion, any comments?
No further.
No further.
Well, I mentioned earlier I think it'd be a good use of the industrial park, but with the limited amount of information that was shared here tonight, I can't see voting yes on this thing. You know, I'd have to have more specifics how many trucks come in and out there, what's the operation system, other than just a few lines that you like tonight. So I'm not willing to move forward.
The if you look at the real estate contract that makes reference to 65 to 90 fleet vehicles. I'm not sure if you read that or not.
Well, if I got a copy of it, I would have read it. This is the first I've heard about it.
All board members got a copy of all the documents.
Where is my copy?
I can't explain why you don't keep track of everything. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Motion passes 4-1. And with this purchase, I'd like the board to seriously consider investing monies from this sale into our recreational department to grow our facilities that we have. You know, we can talk about that at a later date.
Okay, good idea.
All right. Anything else on that, Counselor?
No.
Okay. The next item I have on the agenda is listed as elections. I'm not sure if the board is aware. I know it's been widely reported of the final actions of the state legislature as they wrapped up session for 2023. For the public's benefit, I would like them to know that the legislature, both the Senate and the Assembly, moved to adopt legislation which would change local elections to even numbered years, beginning with the 2023 legislative session. And that's going to have a dramatic impact on many of us in local government. And I have a resolution urging the governor to veto Bill Assembly Print 4282 Bravo and Senate Print 3505 Bravo, titled Movement of Certain Local Elections to Even Numbered Years. And I'd like to ask for the town board's support, and I'm going to articulate all the reasons why I think it's something that the town of Moreau should move forward with this resolution. After the 2022 session was concluded, the sponsors of the bill indicated that hearings would be held on this particular proposal through the election committee process. However, not a single hearing was held. This legislation was passed in the middle of the night on the last days of legislative session, which is counter to the idea of open government and transparency in government. We have several concerns regarding this measure. It usurps home rule. New York State is a home rule state where localities have the ability to govern themselves and institute policies without interference from higher levels of government. And not only does it usurp home rule power, which is protected by the Constitution of the state of New York, actually raises questions as to legality and constitutional authority of the state government to do this. As the board is aware, local municipalities have the ability to change their elections. You can change, and we've done it before, you can change supervisor terms from 2 to 4, you can make council member terms to a different number of years. Highway superintendents can be either 2 or 4, or whatever the local governing body would like. They've always had that authority, and this will end that authority for localities to govern in the way that their local representatives see fit. We've had this right, when I say we local governments, for more than 100 years. The Assembly bond sponsor indicated that she had not received any messages of support on this proposal from any of the 57 counties which are impacted by this measure, or none of the 933 towns across New York State that are impacted by this legislation. Interestingly, the legislation exempts half of New Yorkers because cities are not impacted by this change in law, villages are not impacted by this change in law, and in my opinion, and many others out there, it creates inequity among New York voters. Another key point is that some are indicating that this had to be done or should be done because of the financial impacts that it'll save local governments. There's been no financial analysis or operational analysis conducted on the impacts that this would have on local boards of elections. And the bottom line is, moving these elections to presidential year elections, it makes those of us that are running for office have to compete financially with buying time spots. And everyone knows when there's a presidential election, the cost of advertising, whether it's print, any kind of media, is a lot higher than an off year. So this is going to increase the cost for those running for local office, and you know, those that don't have the ability to either raise those levels of funds or pay for it on their own, you know, that kind of precludes them from being involved in local elections. So I have a copy of the resolution. If the board is willing, I'll read it into the record for its consideration.
Please do.
So the title of the resolution is urging the governor to veto Assembly 4282B, Senate Bill 3505B, to move certain local elections to even number of years. Whereas the Monroe Town Board believes that increasing participation in the election process and reducing costs of government operations is good for public, our republic. And whereas Assemblymember Amy Pollan and State Senator James Skoufis introduced legislation that would move local elections to even numbered years during the 2023 legislative session. And whereas versions of this legislation were introduced in previous years and failed to reach the floor for a vote due to lack of support. And whereas after the 2022 session concluded, the bill sponsor indicated that hearings would be held on the proposal through the election committee process. However, there were no hearings held. And whereas the legislation passed in the middle of the night on the last days of the legislative session, which is counter to the idea of open and transparent government. And whereas the Monroe Town Board has several concerns with this bill. And whereas the legislation usurps the home rule powers reserved by local governments and protected by the Constitution of the State of New York, raising questions of legality and constitutional authority. And whereas local municipalities have had the ability to change their elections to even-numbered years for decades and chose not to do so. And whereas we believe that establishing the schedule of local elections is the right of local government and has been for more than 100 years. Whereas the Assembly Bill sponsor indicated that she had not received any messages of support for this proposal from any of the 57 counties impacted and 933 towns across New York State impacted by this legislation. And whereas this legislation excludes more than half of the New Yorkers who vote in cities and villages from the changes to the election law, creating an inequity among New York voters. And whereas this legislation unfairly excludes the elections to offices in New York City and all other cities and villages in New York State, as well as certain offices within all counties and towns. And whereas proposed legislation circumvented the legislative committee process during this session, limiting public input and understanding of the impacts. And whereas this has been no, there has been no financial analysis or operational analysis of the impacts on local boards of elections. And whereas there are concerns that the current election and ballot counting technology would not be able to adequately meet the demands of the significantly increased ballot size, and whereas this creates confusion amongst voters in towns and counties across New York State, and whereas separating the elections affords voters more time and focus to better understand important local issues and provides candidates the appropriate platforms to explain their stance on issues without having to compete against national and state level campaigns, and whereas moving local elections to even-numbered years would increase the cost of campaigns for local office, reducing the number of candidates willing to invest funds into their own campaign because the cost of media will increase to compete with national and state-level campaign advertisements, and whereas there are significant legal and constitutional questions regarding the legality of this measure that have not been adequately addressed, and now therefore be resolved that the Monroe Town Board urges the governor to oppose this legislation and utilize her veto authority to reject this proposal, and resolve that copies of this resolution be distributed by the Monroe Town Clerk to Governor Kathy Hochul, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie, Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort, Assembly Minority Leader William Barkley, Assembly Bill Sponsor Amy Pollan, and Senate Bill Sponsor James Skoufis, Senator James Tedesco, Assembly Member John McDonald, Assembly Member Mary Beth Walsh, Assembly Member Kerry Werner, and Assembly Member Mayor Matthew Simpson.
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I believe, I know we're the first town in Saratoga County to move on this. I expect that the Saratoga County Board of Supervisors will move on it next week. And I'm sure that there will be a plethora of other towns following suit, not only in Saratoga County, but across upstate New York. So we're leading on that particular issue as well. Supervisor items, I do have a couple items to just cover briefly. The first one is wanted to make the public aware in the report from our assessor for May 2023. She reported that grievance day occurred on May 23rd. There was a total of 55 grievance applications submitted. 30 of those were scheduled appointments and appeared in person, and 25 applications were dropped off for consideration. Interestingly, she received two commercial grievances this year, one being from the Dancing Grain Brewery and the other from the Village of Fort Edward for the water parcels that they have in our community. So she was very pleased with how things turned out with that, and these grievances will be taking place. The Board of Assessment Review will reconvene on June 6th and June 13th. So they've already had one. And I believe they had one.
Well, it's not up tonight. They may have.
They had it already. Next item I have is want to report on mortgage tax receipts. Town of Moreau received $25,420 for May. And we received $48,832 last year. So you can see there's been a cooling of the real estate market almost by 50%. And I think that's all I have for supervisor items. We are going to need a executive session to discuss the work performance, work history of an unnamed town employee.
So, is it in for motion?
Yeah.
Like to make a motion to go into executive session.
All in favor?
Not discussion. I brought this up before. We have some people here that would probably like to speak tonight. Is there any way we could, for this evening, out of respect for these people, move the privilege of the floor up in the agenda before we go into executive session, not knowing how long we're going to be in executive session, out of respect for these people having to go out there and wait in the hallway until we came back? I don't know if tonight we can switch it up a little bit, let these people speak before we go into executive session.
Councilman, you bring that up, grandstanding, whenever we have people
it's
in attendance.
And
I have the floor, Councilman. I have the floor.
Respect.
You're not giving me respect. I have the floor.
I give, but you give.
Yeah, okay. So we have a motion on the table. In favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
We are in executive session. Should take very long, probably 10 minutes or so. We'll resume open session. Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody back to open session. I'd like the record to reflect that we adjourned executive session. No action was taken in executive session. And with that, we do have an actionable item, two actionable items. And the first is as a result of a clerk to the justice, town justice, no longer being employed by the town. There was a request by her to be paid for her four unused personal days. And I would entertain the motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Also related to the court, we have a request from the justice to make Ella McFadden, who is currently a part-time clerk, who was hired on June 13th, 2023, a full-time clerk to the town justice. And the pay would be that which is established for clerks. at our organizational meeting at a rate of $40,425. And that would be effective. I don't know when next payroll is. When's the next payroll?
Next Monday.
So that'd be effective Monday, whatever date that is.
19th.
So somebody would like to move that?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. No.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So we have under other business, does anyone have any other business?
No.
If not,
I got one thing. I came a couple of times before the board mentioned that I was working with the Chamber of Commerce on a committee to get some entertainment for our residents this summer. We got they're successful in getting 8 sponsors for 8 concerts down at the gazebo down at the end of First Street in the village. So it's from July 1st, August 19th, every Saturday night from 5 to 7, there's going to be a different band. There's going to be food trucks. It'll be a good time for all. And we encourage everybody to come down and have some fun. So I just want to let you know about that.
Cool.
Any other business? If not, take us to agenda item 11, which is privilege of the floor. Any member of the public that wishes to be heard, please state your name and address for the record, and you will have 3 minutes to address the board. Justice McKay.
Yeah. We had one more request to just extend Jennifer Miller. We haven't used her hours. We had her set for $10 or 10 hours a week. We've used her 4 hours in the last month. So
you want to extend it to when?
Till December, so that we could just make sure, in case we need her, we can compensate her for it before.
And that was a maximum of 10 hours per week.
Correct? Yeah, but we won't even go close to that.
All right, we'll take that up after privilege of the
floor. Very good, thank you.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. Please come up to the podium.
My name is Lynn Hay. I live on Redmond Road. Our neighbor across the street at 172 Redmond Road, I'm sure you all probably are aware of him, he has created a landfill starting back in September of 2022. He has a mountain garbage behind the house and has recently started a second pile in the fire pit to the right of the house. This past Friday, as my family comes over for dinner every Friday, my grandson looked out the window and he says, "Oh my God, he's taking a couple of white bags of trash and putting it on the fire pit." And then he keeps looking and he says, "Oh my God," he's going more and more. 20 bags of trash he came, brought out, put on the fire pit. Now, the man who took it out was wearing gloves and he was holding it away from his body, which tells you a little bit something about the trash. Not only is this unsightly, but it also poses a health threat. This vast accumulation of garbage will certainly attract various rodents and animals and create offensive odors. One of the women that were there from Child Protective had to put a coat up over her nose because the stench is so great. This resident, who I know is well known probably to maybe everybody in here, continues to avoid any contact with the police or government people by not answering his door. They knock, he doesn't answer. And has no, by no means does he have any desire or means to correct this problem. So please, we are asking you to help us with this ongoing and worsening problem. And I have pictures if anybody wants to see them.
Just to clarify, did you say 172 Redmond?
I live on 171. Oh. He lives at 172.
Right, I'm sorry, that's
don't
what I meant.
Don't confuse them.
I don't think it can be confused.
You can tell me.
I just I do want to update you because I did ask for an update from our code enforcement officer. Actually, after the last meeting, I had asked that he secure 3 quotes for a contractor to come in and essentially clean the place up. And I asked that he work with the town attorney to ensure that we can affix whatever charge that is to the tax bill. He's working on that. He wasn't able to get the three quotes for us before tonight's board meeting, but he did indicate that he has issued an appearance ticket. So
now, what happens with the appearance ticket? Do you have to actually see the person?
I mean, because we're not going to find
them. I'm not an attorney. Come over and knock on the door.
I mean, I'm assuming if he's saying he's issued the appearance ticket, it means he's served it. Either way, that's going to go through the court system. The way that the supervisor's explaining it, it sounds like we're going through the code enforcement to get a quick fix to the problem. The repercussions of the problem is going to have to go through the court system, and everybody has their rights there. So I believe that was my last understanding as well.
Right. The we do have about a handful of similar properties, and so our intent is to do the same with all of them. So we're working through that administratively to make sure we can legally, because I don't believe that taxpayers should have to pay for a private property to be cleaned up, and if we have the ability to collect that cost, we're going to do that.
From him, are you saying you're going to try to collect
it? Well, it'll be, yeah, it would go on his taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Jerry Hay.
My wife.
About 20 years ago, we had a similar problem next door. And the supervisor at that time came down to my house, stood on my fence after he asked, can I stand on your fence and look over it? Yes, I prefer you did. And he said, I will get a hold of the code enforcement officer the next day, and he will come over here and he will take care of this problem. He did show up the next day. It was Jimmy Green, whatever. And within 2 days, it was picked up. This garbage across the street has been accumulating since September of last year. It's been about 10 months, and I'm worried about our well. There's four in the neighborhood that have shallow wells, points. All right, mine's only down 23 feet. And eventually, this, I'm sure, has to have an impact on the wells. I know the gentleman across the street, he's told me his well is already messed up. He blamed it on people that come there. Because I had said to him one time, I said, you have a lot of people showing up and they allow them to have pickups. Why don't you just have them, have your friends put it in the pickup and then, you know, the problem be solved. He says, these people are not my friends. And I believe him. He said they purposely, he feels they contaminated his well by burying a bunch of garbage. So right now, I mean, what got my wife and I here was, like she said, Friday night, all of a sudden, there were five bags on the front porch, and all within that burn pit that they had, there wasn't a fire there. There has been in the past, but then they took like 15 more from inside the house. But I'm out mowing my lawn and these bugs are flying all over the place. We have an immediate health hazard there. And I know things move slowly, but it would be nice if it was able to happen like it did 20 years ago when the guy sent somebody and then they cleaned it up. I don't know what the law was. I do know there's a chapter 9 that I looked up, and there's a procedure, I guess, to go by, and I'm sure he's well past that. But you saying you had three contractors, but
no,
you didn't get any
bids? I didn't say that.
I'm sorry, I
said that I asked our code enforcement officer to acquire a minimum, because we have a procurement policy, a minimum of three quotes from contractors to go in and do the job. And actually this morning when I got done talking with him, I wanted those quotes to be for all the properties that are experiencing a similar situation.
Do you have any idea what timeline that would be?
Well, I told him this morning that I was disappointed that I didn't have it for tonight's meeting, so I'm hoping that he gets that before the end of the week. And if he does, we have the authority through emergency action to address it before the next board meeting. All right, so I can pull the board, you know, once we have the legal right, it's determined we have the legal right to make him pay for it, to take action.
Yeah, because he doesn't, like my wife said, he doesn't have the means and he doesn't have to
buy exactly.
The property, I suppose.
And that's part of the problem.
But this has been 10 months. Okay. And it is getting huge. I mean, we have pictures of that, if anybody's interested in looking at them to see how bad it is. I know some of you probably have driven by and have seen it, but it is really gross. And it's not just a couple of people there. Last weekend, there was probably a dozen cars that came and went. And when a car pulls in, 3-4 people get out. So it's a lot of garbage that's being produced over there. Mm-hmm. And it stinks. So we would appreciate any help yeah. that you can give us to solve
okay.
this immediate problem.
And I don't want you to state it on the record, but did you leave contact information on the sign-in sheet? Because we can update.
I have talked to the code enforcement officer.
Okay, so he has your information.
He's aware of it, yeah. Gotcha. In fact, he came last September. My wife and I were working in the front yard, and he drove into our driveway, and Pete asked me, he said, what's going on across the street? I didn't know who he was. I thought he was associated over there, you know, so I said, who are you? And he said, I'm the code enforcement officer. And he said, we've had a complaint about the garbage buildup across the street. Now, that had only been a couple of weeks, all right? Because they used to have Twin Bridges pick it up. And what they were doing over there, they had so much garbage, they not only used the garbage from Twin Bridges, the container, but also the recycling they filled with garbage. So Twin Bridges was just looking for a way to get their containers back. Mm-hmm. And when they picked it up early in September, the van was right behind the trucks and they threw the containers. So after that, there was nobody to pick it up anymore. But Pete said he had a complaint. And like I said, that was early September after only a few weeks of garbage buildup. And, you know, I even said to Pete when me and my neighbor went and visited him in April. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what's going on? You know, and he was saying at that time, there wasn't anything they could do. Mm-hmm. So I was a little confused about it. You know, just, I'm glad to hear what you're saying right now.
Well, we want to get it taken care of, so.
Yeah. Well, we deeply appreciate it. We've been there 45 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the worst it's ever been.
Okay.
Never seen this. Thank you. So
thank
much.
You. Counselor, can you follow up with Malcolm on that? I think he was working with Pete. Just to
We're going to have a response for you, both for sooner rather than later.
Excellent. Okay. Appreciate it. Any other member of the public wish to be heard?
Hi, my name is Nick Patino. I'm involved in this concern, and I guess I need to get educated, so I hope you'll help me out. What is the problem in getting a health issue taken care of right away? What is it that holds the town back from sending a truck, taking that garbage, and getting rid of it? Why can't that happen?
Well, I don't want to take your time. Do you want me to answer your questions as you go through them, or do you want to give us all your questions?
That's my question.
Okay. Obviously, we have to follow policy and procedures and work within the confines of the law. That's what we're doing. We have to balance what is appropriate on the part of the taxpayers as well as the ensuing issue that the neighbors are faced with. Yes, we could send a truck down there. We could send highway employees, quite honestly, I don't want to speak for them. We have a union. I don't think they'll do it.
You don't think they'll do it?
No.
And what about the health issue? Is there a health concern that you guys think should be taken care of? Are we going to wait for paperwork to once again delay things and have this get worse and worse?
Well, I'm not.
Get it done is all I would ask.
Well, I think you just heard us, sir. Talk about
three bids from three people. They're waiting for all of the other places that are under concern. You got one issue right in clear sight for 10 months. What is the delay? Get rid of it. Doesn't make any sense. You're worried about the tax on the
I'm worried about procedure. We have a legal right to do things appropriately.
Health issues, evidently, I think, take precedent. Will you agree with that or not?
Yeah, people have health issues all over town.
I'm not talking about people having a health issue.
You are.
The town has a health issue.
I thought you are.
I am, and the town is too. This is you guys are having a health issue with this. You can't let people bear the burden all by themselves. That's an eyesore. It's a health issue. It should be taken care of. Done. You don't have to go around the block and look and get bids and this and that. Get a truck over there. Get it out of there. See you later. I can't believe you have to take so long to get something like this done. Just put yourself in their shoes. Would you like that in 10 months in front of your house? Watching that stuff grow and getting worse? Would you wonder why that can't be done? I know you would. Get it done. End of story. Thank you for your consideration. I hope to see a truck there tomorrow.
Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am. Yes, please.
But my hands are up. Some of you haven't heard me ask before. Others have been hearing me ask it since I started going to town meetings in 2008 at the old town hall. So you know where I'm coming from. I live on Gansford Road, and we don't have Spectrum services. Before Preston Jenkins took over as supervisor in 2008, the town no longer had a cable services contract with Spectrum, and it expired. And in New York State, the Public Service Commission makes the rules such that if a contract expires, Spectrum is under no obligation to enter into a new agreement with the town. If there's nothing on paperwork the town and Spectrum can't agree with, they just function on the old one. That's been going on forever. And I live on what's considered by a lot of people to be a main drag in town. It's a state road. My mom on Hatchery Road has Spectrum services, but on the Gansmer Road, we don't, we can't. And I'm just wondering, I've asked this question a lot of times, if the town or the supervisor's office or anybody has or is or will be doing anything to address that. So that's my question, and then I have a follow-up.
So
by the faces I'm seeing, some people are like, what are you talking about?
No, I know you mentioned it.
So, interestingly, I was on the cable TV committee way back when as a council member. And
we had someone come to the old town hall, some guy in a suit.
Yep, John Mooka is no longer with him, at least in the capacity he was, and they've since changed names. You are correct. There's only two things that in those cable TV franchise agreements that the town has any input on. It is the gross receipts tax that the town receives, which is capped at 5%, and it's the build-out rate. We talked about the build-out rate. I had numerous conversations over the years. Interestingly, the cable stops before my property.
Mm-hmm. And I can see it from my house, yep. And it comes out of the
And interestingly, it starts again right past your house.
In Mott Road. Yep. They won't bring it from Mott Road to my house because that comes out of Northumberland. They said that's a different town, so I can't have it from Northumberland. I said I can see it from my porch. They said that if I wanted service from Spectrum, I myself had to pay for the service to run from Reynolds Corners to my house. I had to pay for it. Then as people added on, I would get reimbursed. So this guy in a suit from a multinational corporation said that I, individual, had to pay for it because they weren't going to do it. So I'm wondering if and when the town is going to do anything or be able to do anything, because when COVID hit, it really hit big time because I had a hotspot. I had a Verizon hotspot with five kids home doing remote school.
So to answer your question, is the town going to do anything? as a follow-up to those conversations, we only have two things we have input on. And we tried to get the build-out rate lower per mile, buildable mile. And they pointed to the general contract or general agreement they have statewide. And I think at the time, maybe 14, 17 houses per buildable mile, which was impossible to happen under the town's code because you have to have so many foot of road frontage to put a house in. You got to have 5 acres. It could never happen. Could never happen. So, you know, I have had conversations, and I can tell you, maybe you saw a couple weeks ago, an individual going down and surveying every single telephone pole on Route 32, writing that was an independent contractor, and this is part of the state's greater program to get infrastructure in parts of towns that are not served. In talking with them, they didn't have a date on it. They're in the preliminary early stages where they have to map out what existing infrastructure is there so they know how much it's going to cost them, but it is coming. I don't have a time on it.
So there's nothing the town can do? As far as like talking to the Public Service Commission or anything in that regard, there's nothing?
I can't even get phone calls returned.
The reason I'm bringing it up again now, as I mentioned, during COVID, we had 5 kids home. I had 5 kids home. My mom was teaching, so we would go over to her house so the kids could get on. I could leave, you know, the high school ones at home and then bring little guys over, so it was a lot of back and forth. It recently came to my attention that even though everything was shut down, including the town hall, that...
Well, we weren't shut down.
Closed the park.
Yes, government still operated.
Yeah. So, the town hall itself was shut down, but that was a town-by-town thing, right? Not like the state said all the schools had to be closed. But did the state say that things had to be closed, or was the town decided?
It was up to the towns.
Okay, so it's an individual thing. I'm wondering if the town extended the ability, or extended the offer for all teachers within the town of Moreau to use the town hall facilities when it was closed to the public for their teaching purposes, or if that was only offered to one person?
I don't recall being offered to anyone, but nobody reached out and asked either.
So when the town hall was closed mm-hmm. to the public, mm-hmm. and there was a teacher using the conference room mm-hmm. for educational purposes.
Well, why don't you just say who the teacher was?
Your wife.
Yeah.
So that offered to anybody else?
Nobody asked. She asked.
The town hall was closed to the public.
So?
Thank you for your time.
You just indicated that you had dial-up. How do you teach kids with dial-up?
I wasn't teaching my student. My kids were students.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor.
Talk to the school district about it.
I'm sorry.
Talk to the school district about it. It's an educational issue. Did you talk to the school district about it?
I wasn't talking about my kids. I was talking about taxpayers.
You're talking about dial-up.
I'm sorry.
You're talking about dial-up.
I had dial-up. I had dial-up years ago. I had a hotspot. They're different.
So what's your point? So you don't have a point. Okay. Any other member of the public wish to be heard? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would just like to put a motion out to extend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jen Miller's employment. Yes. At $20 an hour, not to exceed 10 hours a week until December 1st.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So, once again, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much, everyone. Just putting in some more questions.